Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, contents, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on this show may not be the same of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Good afternoon, friends. My name is Kerry Clark, and I have with me this afternoon Brother Terry Jackson. So I guess instead of the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible, it's the Kerry and Terry Expedition Through the Bible this evening. We want to thank you for tuning in. As you may have gathered, David Harris is out of pocket right now. As a matter of fact, he's over in Bangs, Texas, and he's doing a gospel meeting over there with the good brethren at Bangs. As you just heard a moment ago, they help sponsor this radio program. But David Harris is preaching in a gospel meeting over there, and it begins at 7 o'clock tonight. So if you're in that area, we want to encourage you to drive over and hear Brother David. He'll be preaching tonight at 7, tomorrow night at 7, and then again on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock at the Church of Christ in Bangs. And so we want to encourage you to go over there and hear Brother David. We plan to be there tomorrow night. As I said, we have Brother Terry Jackson with us this evening. Terry is the preacher in the Rising Star Church of Christ, and so we're excited to have Terry with us this afternoon. We do want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show, so we want you to grab your Bible if you have your Bible, and if it's handy, we want you to open in your Bible to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, in just a moment, Terry's going to read verses 8 through 11. But again, we want to remind you it's a call-in show, so give us a call at 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. You can send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. That's keqx@rocketmail.com. And by the way, you can go to Harris and Clark, and that's all spelled out, harrisandclark.org, and you can find a link to listen to us on the radio, and you can also find recordings of our past programs. And so we want to encourage you to visit our webpage at harrisandclark.org. If you've been with us the last couple of months, we began a study, and we've called this Seven Keys to Personal Growth. Seven keys to personal growth. Now, we want to remind us that a key, especially in the sense of how we're using it in this discussion, means something that will help us unlock something else. And what we're doing is we are trying to unlock some characteristics that we can incorporate into our lives that will help us to be the mighty men and women that God wants us to be. And we began the series by looking at loyalty. Friends, loyalty is the key that everything else is going to be built upon. Terry, if we are not loyal to God and loyal to His Word, then very clearly the rest of what we say is really not going to be important. It's really not going to matter.
That's right.
So we've got to develop loyalty in our lives. And of course, we pointed out that the Marine Corps uses Semper Fi as their sign, which means it's a shortened version, obviously, of Semper Fidelis, but it means always faithful. And so we want to encourage us that we need to remain faithful to God no matter what happens. And then we talked about responsibility, because God has given us responsibilities, Terry. You know, He tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Do you reckon He means that?
He sure did.
He sure did. So we've got responsibilities that God has placed upon us. And then, because of the responsibilities that we have, Terry, we've got to have the courage to follow through.
That's right.
We've got to develop a courageous attitude. Paul would say, if God be for us, then who can be against us? I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I tried to say that last night and couldn't say it either in my sermon. So, but we've got to be courageous in our proclamation of the gospel. And then, of course, we talked about determination. And when you think about determination, this is that attitude is, well, you've always heard the saying about a bulldog, when he grabs hold, he's not going to turn loose. That's determination. And when we get our minds right, we've got to be determined that there is absolutely nothing going to remove us from accomplishing what God wants us to do. And then we talked about initiative. And initiative is that attitude where we, when you think about initiative, we're actually talking about that attitude or that key that means that we're ready to go. You know, we're going to take the initiative to do certain things. And if you listen to the program last Monday night, David Harris and Richard Massey did a great job in talking about initiative. And, Richard brought out some things in that particular lesson that I really liked. And I was able to listen to it on the radio or on the internet on harrisonclark.org. But he brought out some really valuable information that, you know, it takes initiative for us to accomplish the will of God. We've got to get up and do something. And so this evening, Terry, we're going to be talking about something that may be a little bit unexpected by our listening audience. Especially if you've ever walked into my office and seen the way that I keep my office.
And I have, by the way.
What we're going to talk about, friends, is orderliness. And this is the idea, and I'll just give you the definition that you find under Webster's. It says, orderliness is the quality of appreciating method and system. It is a condition of regular or proper arrangement. And so, Terry, when we're talking about being orderly in our lives, we're saying that God expects us to have some system and arrangement in our life. You know, Terry, when you stop and think about that, isn't the God of the Bible a God who is orderly?
Since the very beginning.
Since the very beginning. And friends, that leads us to the text of Scripture that Terry's going to read, and that's Exodus chapter 20. So if you got your Bible, Exodus chapter 20, he's going to begin in verse 8, go through verse 11. So we're talking about being orderly in our lives. And Terry, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Well, in this very section, it begins the law in chapter 20. And if you'll notice that God organized the law and set it forth for the Jews in order that they have a legal system as well as a religious system that was very clean, pure, and organized. And it begins with the law and the Ten Commandments. And then he goes to verse 8 and he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
You know, Terry, as I read those verses, obviously there's several things that jump out. We're talking about, first of all, that God is orderly. And, you know, we have a notion in our world today that everything that we see around us, the universe, the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, everything that we see around us is not the result. This is what's being taught. It is not the result of God creating everything. It is the result of somewhere billions of years ago in the past, supposedly, there was this great big bang, and they call it the Big Bang, you know. And from that unorganized event, because if you've ever seen an explosion, you know, I know there's some order to the way that things go, but it's really chaos. And what you see in that is people saying from that event, everything that we see around us evolved to what we have right now. Now, Terry, can you think of anything that is more in contrast to that when you compare it to what we've just read in Exodus chapter 20? God created the earth in 7 days.
Exactly. And
or
one
six
of the,
days.
One of the things the scientists, it amazes me that even the evolutionist recognizes certain laws of science. Can you imagine, without the orders of the law of science, what would this earth would be like? What if there's no law of gravity? You know, there are certain laws. Up is always up, down is down. If you jump off the building, you're going to fall.
Right.
How many of these laws have been used to establish scientific facts? Even the technology, the progression, being able to go to the moon, being able to build a bridge. It's based on the scientific laws that have been proven and are established. This idea that there's no concrete or no facts, it's a devil's lie.
It is. Friends, if you want to join us on the discussion, the number to call is 254-445-2473. And once again, that's 254-445-2473. Or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. Now, Terry, I want to pick up on something that you've just said that I believe is vitally important. You know, if you saw when they exploded or imploded Texas Stadium here, I guess it's been a little over a week ago, if you saw, and you brought this up in your comment, or at least made me think about it when you said that, if there were not certain laws that we know that are established principles, could they have brought down that building the way that they brought it down?
No way.
There's absolutely no way. Because they know that according to certain specific laws, you put X amount of nitroglycerin or C4, whatever they happen to use. I didn't watch it, so I don't know. But whatever type of explosive they used, it's a very orderly thing because they know that if you put it here and you put it a certain way, that it's going to act in this certain way. Like you said, if there were no rules, no order, then that building, you know, who knows what would have happened. Who knows what would happen? So we need to be orderly in our life because God expects us to be orderly. Now, Terry, I've said this many times. I've preached this lesson several times, and I've made this statement. Every mother or grandmother that is in the room, and of course that's when I'm preaching it, but if you're listening to the radio right now, you can appreciate this subject very much. Probably even more so than a man can, because and I'm not saying that derogatory toward men, but we all realize that women most of the time are a lot more orderly in what they do than a man is. You know,
this is true, very true.
You know, you think about and I guess in a part of it is, Terry, by the very nature of the things they do, they've got to be a little orderly.
Exactly.
You know, if you're going to go cook dinner, you've got to have a certain order in the way that you follow a recipe. If you want that recipe to turn out like your mother made it, then you've got to follow that recipe, and you've got to do it precisely.
Exactly.
You know, if you looked at it and said, well, you know, I know that it says a teaspoon, but a tablespoon, you know, if a teaspoon's good, a tablespoon's better.
Well, my grandmother's, all of her recipes have a dash and a pinch and all of that, so I'm not sure. Maybe my wife can interpret that a lot better than I can.
But there is orderliness
exactly,
and that's what we're talking about, friends. We've got to be orderly.
Well, Kerry, you're building a cabin.
Yeah.
You have a pattern to go by.
That's right.
What happens if you just throw that pattern away and start building those walls and the flooring the way you want to?
Well, it would be utter chaos. You know, what would I do if I went down to the lumber yard and I said, I need a 10-foot 2x4, and tomorrow 10 foot's really 11 foot.
Exactly.
And then Saturday, 10 foot's 9 foot. And then the next week, 10 foot is 8 foot.
It'd be an interesting cabin.
I mean, we've got to have certain rules in certain order for us to even live our lives. Driving down the highway, you know, it's amazing that you drive down the highway and there are certain rules and regulations. You follow those and everything clicks along fine.
Exactly.
But then somebody steps out of that order and does something crazy, And then you have this big pileup, and then Interstate 35 is backed up for 4 hours, you know, because somebody didn't do what they were supposed to do. So friends, what we're saying is everything around us is built on order. But now, Terry, here's the question. What in the world does that have to do with us living our spiritual life? How does this principle that we're talking about of being orderly, now, how does that come into play when it comes to living the kind of life that God wants us to live as Christians? Maybe you can explain that or help us with that.
Well, it has everything to do with it because, you know, God never left anything to chance. When he created man, he gave man law immediately.
Yes.
How else would Adam have known not to partake of the forbidden fruit?
Yes.
Whatever that was. I think it's a persimmon, but that's just me. Whatever that fruit was.
Green persimmon.
Whatever it was, they understood it. Or whatever it was that they were to sacrifice. Abel knew how to make the right kind of sacrifice. Cain knew, but he didn't do it and was held accountable for it.
That's right.
From the very beginning, God gave man order in religion, in their faith, in their response, in their behavior. And if you follow it on down all through, even as we looked at Exodus 20, what is that about? Guiding not only the religious behavior of the Jews, but also their daily behavior.
Yes.
God wants us to know his desire and his will, and he has revealed it to us.
You know, Terry, I was thinking about that as you were talking about that in this order that God established when you look at Exodus chapter 20. And God, you know, when you look at our world, you can get by just the very process of nature, you can pretty much tell when a year's gone by because there's four
That's
seasons.
Right.
You know, so you've got and you can tell by the cycle of the moon approximately when a month has gone by. But Terry, the only way that man knows that there are 7 days in a week is because God revealed it to us. You can't by nature, there's nothing, oh, we know a new day is, but where did we come up with this concept? There's 7 days in a week. And by the way, that's pretty universal thing, that there's 7 days in a week. Well, like I say, you can watch the cycles and you know that, you know, you've got winter, spring, summer, fall, and then a new year's going to start over. You've got a cycle of the moon, and you can tell by the moon. There's a full moon, and then it goes down and gets down to a little sliver, and then you got a full moon again. You know, hey, a month's gone by.
And you know it's going to be that way. It won't change. It won't be altered at one bit.
Well, now, Terry, what about global warming?
Well, it's made somebody a lot of money. Won a few peace prizes and that sort of thing.
You know, friends, it's interesting that the Bible does tell us God is speaking to us. And when he got through with the global flood, God told us very clearly that there was going to be seasons and there were going to be years. It would be hot, it would be cold, and those things would not change. And I find it interesting that now we have a thought that somehow man, God didn't anticipate, you know, God didn't anticipate we were going to have an automobile that ran on what the world calls fossil fuel. And I've got some questions about that that I don't really believe have ever been answered. But anyway, that's a whole nother subject. Hey, friends, we want to remind you that we want you to join us on this discussion. And if you have something to add to this thought of God being orderly, that God expects his people to be orderly. And friends, what we're going to move to in just a moment is the idea of worship. When it comes to worship, Terry, God expects us to be orderly.
He sure does.
And that is lost in a lot of things today. But we're up against a break right now, and so we're going to go ahead and take a break. And so we want to remind you to give us a call at 254-445-2473 or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned." Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord.
The Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-size Bible. It was presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Barkites Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.archivecoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Friends, we want to welcome you back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible this evening. My name is Kerry Clark, and I have with me this evening Brother Terry Jackson. David is doing a gospel meeting over in Bangs, and so he's not going to be with us tonight. So he is doing that gospel meeting at Bangs. It starts at 7 o'clock tonight. It will start at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, and it will start at 7 o'clock Wednesday night. So we want to encourage you to go visit the good brethren at Bangs and hear Brother David Harris as he preaches the gospel to us. And as I mentioned, I have Brother Terry Jackson. He's the preacher over at Rising Star at the Church of Christ over there. And we love and appreciate Terry. We've known him for years. And so we're glad that he's able to be with us this evening. And what we're talking about, and by the way, I'll give you the number before I get back into that, if you would like to join the discussion. The number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. Now, Terry, we're talking about God being the God of order. And we, at the break, mentioned that even when it comes to our worship of God, He expects us to be orderly. You know, in John 4 and verse 24, Jesus said, "God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." And so if we worship God in spirit, we're doing so sincerely. If we worship God in truth, we're doing it according to what he has said and not according to what we want to do. And so, Terry, let's read together 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Friends, I hope you have your Bible. Terry's going to begin reading in verse number 33, and he's going to read through verse number 40. And the point is, look at how God says that when it comes to our worship, we need to maintain order. Brother Terry.
Terry, I'm going to back up and look at verse 32 to show that in actuality, the spirits were subject to the prophets. It wasn't that they were out of control. They were very controlled and were held accountable for the control that they had with the gifts that they had. Now look at 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. Or did the word of God come originally from you, or was it you only that it reached? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order.
Well, Terry, you know, we're talking about God being the God of order, and it sounds like he said when it comes to a worship service where we are gathered together as his people to worship him, he expects order in that. Is that what you got out of that?
Exactly. I mean, if there's just a bunch of nonsense going on, how can we be encouraged or edified through things that we can't understand or through things that really is just entertainment? There's no spiritual admonition or encouragement in that kind of behavior.
You know, Terry, there's a movement, and I'm sure that you're aware of it, that I call it spontaneous worship, where you're sitting there and somebody gets the urge to start leading a prayer, and they just start leading a prayer right out of the clear blue. Somebody else gets the urge to lead a song. They don't, you know, there's no song announcement or anything. They just pop up and start leading a song, and you see all this, and to me, it's chaos. And you're confused about what's going on, you know, what is, and that's not what God wants out of his people.
Well, isn't that what they were having problems with at Corinth?
That's exactly what it sounds like.
I mean, but these fellas, they had the Holy Spirit. I mean, the legitimate Holy Spirit. They had the gift of prophecy. They had the gift of speaking in tongues. These were actual gifts from the Holy Spirit, yet they had control over them. And that's one of the things in this chapter 14 that Paul is telling them to do. You are in control. If you allow this thing to get out of order, then you've got nothing but confusion and chaos, and God does not author confusion.
You know, it's interesting as you were talking about that. I thought about what he said back in verse number 27, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 27. He says, if any man speak in a tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. And if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that setteth by, watch this, Terry, let the first hold his peace. You know, in this, and as you said, they legitimately had the Holy Spirit guiding them, because they didn't have the completed revelation of the Word of God as we have in our hands right now, the New Testament. And so they were guided by men who were guided by the Holy Spirit. And even in that, you read it in verse number 32, he said, you need to understand that the spirit of the prophet is in subjection to the prophet. He's saying, you are in control of yourself. And so, Terry, God is a God of order, and he expects us to be orderly when it comes to worshiping him. Now, he said some interesting things there. He said, first of all, let women keep silent in the church. What about women preachers, Terry?
Well, all I know is what I read right there. Let them keep silent.
So God then, in his revelation, has dictated that men are to be the spiritual leaders in the house and in the church, and that women are not to take that role.
Exactly.
Now, friends, we're not trying to be antagonistic with this. But if you are a woman preacher, then we would love for you to give us a call at 254-445-2473 and harmonize this scripture with the thought that you get up and preach to men. And that's what he's talking about
sure.
in a mixed assembly. He's not talking about where there's a group of women, because in Titus 2, he said the older women are to teach the younger women. So it's not, he's talking about an assembly of the church coming together. And he said, now, women, you're not to get up and lead in a preaching fashion, a teaching fashion. You're to remain silent.
What about taking any leadership role, Kerry?
Well, if that's what he said, don't do it. You know, 1 Timothy chapter 2 comes to mind as well. Verse number 8, he says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. That's 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 8. And the word there, and I know that you know this, but the word there is in the Greek, anir. There's several words used to describe mankind. Anthropos, where we get the word anthropology, which is the study of man. Anthropos in the Greek is a generic word. It means men, women, children. It's just generic mankind. But Paul doesn't use that word there. He says, let the men.
The male.
The male. And if I understand the gist of that word, it is a mature male. We're not talking about getting a two-year-old up. Well, they're a male, so they can lead us in worship, you know. He's talking about mature individuals leading the church. Well, Terry, let's move on and use some illustrations that I think might be helpful in looking at this. And we're going to look at how that God, when he created everything, he set things in order. But Terry, even in the animal kingdom, God has established in the animal kingdom certain order. I have a fascinating book, and this is where I got the thought for these lessons, by the way. But in that book, it talks about the groundhog, or what we call sometimes a woodchuck or a marmot, or sometimes they just call them an old varmint, you know. But these woodchucks, and I guess groundhogs, what's the one up that predicts the weather? Something, Phil, I can't remember what his name is, Biloxi Phil or whatever his name is, Pocahontas, something up there. But anyway, that's what we're talking about, this little animal that's called a groundhog, and obviously groundhog tells us they live in the ground. But when you start studying this creature, Terry, they build elaborate housing complexes under the ground. And in these housing complexes, they have a place where they sleep, a bedroom, if you want to call it such. They have a place where they eat, a kitchen or dining room. They even have, now get this, Terry, fascinating to me, they have a bathroom. They have a chamber that they designate that's where they're going to go to take care of that kind of business.
They probably had indoor plumbing before we did.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and here God is saying, you know, there's some sense to this, guys. You don't sleep or eat where you go to the bathroom. We would say that's just plain old common old sense. But here's this lowly little groundhog who is, by everything that I've seen, one of the cleanest animals in the world. They clean themselves constantly. They take care of that. But Terry, you and I were talking about it when we were preparing for this lesson. They will even clean out their bathroom, and they will haul their business outside, dig a little hole, and bury it in the ground, and that way they don't contaminate their housing. And by the way, they design their housing complex where that the bathroom, the smell of the bathroom doesn't go into the other part of their living quarters.
Isn't that amazing?
And so, you know, here is a lowly ant. Well, what did Solomon say about something about go to the ant, thou sluggard?
That's, he sure did.
And what do you think he's talking about?
Well, there's lessons, and the thing of it is, how did the gopher, the varmint you're talking about, know to do that? How did the ant, how does he know to do what he does? You know, one of the things about the ant we talked about here last week, you and I did in a conversation about the grain that they would store, that they'd bite the ends of it so that it wouldn't germinate.
Isn't that fascinating?
Who taught them that? Who taught the ant to do that? Who taught these gophers or groundhogs to do these sorts of things?
Well, obviously, God placed that knowledge within them.
Exactly.
And, you know, I like that because you stop and you think about it. If an ant goes out there and cuts some kind of grain and takes it down and it doesn't cut the seed portion off, you put that in the ground, that's where the ant lives. So you put that in the ground, it gets moisture, the temperature gets right, it's going to germinate.
Exactly.
And so God built within them this sense to know that they cut that off so that when they bring it into their nest, that it's not going to germinate.
Exactly.
And you know, something else that's fascinating, I was reading about honeybees. And honeybees, and again, this is in that book that I was talking about, honeybees are very orderly, and they have a certain dance that they do, and by the way, that they line themselves up with the sun, and they do a figure eight, and according to the number of times, I believe it's a figure eight, it's some form like that, the number of times that they do that tells the other bees that it's, when they're lined up, it's that direction, as according to the sun, and it's so many feet away or so many yards away, just
isn't that
by
the amazing?
And so friends,
isn't that amazing?
But Terry, you know what's frustrating to me? We as human beings don't have that much sense.
No, we don't. Or if we do, we don't use it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, God has placed all this valuable information right there for us, and yet we don't have enough sense to use it in a way that God would have us to use it.
Exactly.
Friends, the number to call, we want you to join in on this discussion, 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. Or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. I do believe that we have a caller on the line. And caller, if you would, just give us your first name and your question or your comment.
Well, this is Jason again. Going back to what y'all were talking about with worship and the lack of order that we see in a lot of places these days, it's been my experience over the course of the last 25, 30 years to observe some of these things that people do in worship that they claim is being worship. It's not really worship. It's false worship.
Right.
Is to evoke an emotional response. Mm. That's what it's all about among religious people today. They don't, for some reason, they're appealing only to the emotion rather than to the intellect of man, and that's what the lack of order does. The spontaneous worship, for instance, that you were talking about, and things like that. And God wants to appeal to our intellect. Yes, he wants to appeal to our emotion as well, that we're sorry for the sin that we've committed, and we are emotional about the fact that we have done wrong, but it's our intellect, the mind, that's what the heart is, the mind,
yes,
is all about making the proper response rather than just that emotional response. But when you get things out of order, when you take things and you twist them around and put a lack of order in there, then that appeals only to the emotion and it takes the intellect completely out of it.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, emotion should be the response of the intellect.
Exactly.
Because we have obeyed the Lord, we should be happy. We should be very joyous. But it's because we're in the right relationship and the proper relationship with the Lord because of our obedience. Kerry?
Well, and I was just thinking, Jason, that's a great comment. And I was thinking about Israel, you know, Joseph's father. You know, old Israel, Jacob over in the Old Testament have 12 sons. And when his brothers, Joseph's brother, brought the response back that Joseph was dead, and they showed, of course, his father this coat of many colors that they had ripped to shred and put blood on it, and Israel just broke down and cried and was in mourning. I think it talks about like 40 days that he was in mourning, and you know what? His son was alive. And Jason, what you're saying is, if we're not careful, we will get an emotional response because we've been given the wrong information.
Exactly. And that's why God wants things done in order, so we give the right response to in the right way.
Exactly. We appreciate that call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to go ahead and take a break, and the number to call as soon as we get off the break is 254-445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com, and we'll see you on the other side of the break.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord.
The Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-size Bible. Presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Barkhites Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our service. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton. And our mailing address is CO Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.archivecoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me." He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Friends, we want to welcome you back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Kerry Clark, and I have with me this evening Brother Terry Jackson. As we mentioned, David Harris is doing a gospel meeting over at Bangs, and Bangs, by the way, is one of the congregations that helps sponsors our program, so we love and appreciate the good brethren over at Bangs. But David is going to speak in about 16 minutes. It'll start at 7 o'clock. It'll be 7 o'clock tomorrow night and 7 o'clock Wednesday night. And so if you're over in the Bangs area, you've still got a few minutes. Throw on some nice clothes and run on over and hear Brother David Harris at the Church of Christ in Bangs. We're talking about God being the God of order. And we read a few moments ago from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning in verse number 32, where God said that the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. And then he goes on to explain in that context how that the women, and let's just go ahead and open back to that, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 34. It says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law." Verse 35, And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. And by the way, Terry, maybe we need to explain the word church. Is that talking about a building?
No, it's talking about the gathering of God's people when they come for worship.
Okay, so exactly. So let's get that straight. We're not talking about a church building. We're talking about an assembly of God's people. Now, Terry, the question that we received, we got an email and we actually got a couple of calls on the break. And here's the email that we received. Would you explain a prophetess or a deaconess? And then it goes on to say that some use these to show that it's okay for a woman to be in a leadership role. So, Terry, we're going to take that. And I want to encourage you, friends, if you have your Bibles, to turn to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, in verse number 1, and by the way, I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. Brother Terry is using the New King James Version of the Bible. And it says in Romans 16 and verse number 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she has been a provider or a succorer of many and of myself also. Now, Terry, the person that sent the email obviously is referring, at least as far as I can tell, to the deaconess in this particular verse, because the word servant is the word diakonos, and from our English language, or from the English, we would call that word deacon. And obviously, in the context, this is feminine. Greek, and Terry and I are not Greek experts at all, but Greek is like Spanish. They have gender in their language, and so they've got masculine, they've got feminine, they've got neuter, and it's the same way in the Spanish language. It's the same way to a certain extent even in English, but not nearly to the same extent. You can tell by a word whether that word is masculine or feminine just by the way that it ends.
Exactly.
And so the word servant, and this is where we're drawing from, is the word diakonos, except it's in the feminine form, and so we would transliterate that as she is the deaconess, or a deaconess, of the church in Cenchrea. So, the question is that not saying that there is such a thing as a deaconess, and can't, because of that, can't women be leaders in the church? So, Terry, let's examine that. Do you have something you want to say about that?
Well, a lot of times we look at these things and we assume that this is always dealing with a position of authority within the church. The word deaconos or servant is not always represented as a position in the church. It's talking about a servant. A servant's heart, a man or a woman in this case, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea.
Well, Terry, isn't it a fact that we are all supposed to be servants
exactly.
in the Lord's church?
So in a sense, can't we all be deacons or deaconesses?
Okay.
In that broad sense of the term.
Yes. And obviously that's what Paul is using. And how do we know that, friends? Well, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, I alluded to this earlier, or we alluded to it earlier, and verse number 8, 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 8, Paul writes, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Now, Terry, we mentioned that a moment ago, and we pointed out in 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 8, the word men refers to an adult male who is a Christian. And he says, I will therefore that men pray somewhere. Is that what you're saying?
It says everywhere.
Everywhere. Well, what about at a family reunion, Terry, and you've got a gathering of people there, and someone says, Aunt Sue, why don't you lead us in prayer?
says everywhere.
Oh, okay. So that includes a family reunion.
If there are men present, that's what that would include.
And I know Terry and I obviously agree on this, and I'm just using that to kind of build up the point. When he says everywhere, I think he probably means everywhere.
Can I make a point on that,
yeah.
Terry? I think it's a shame that we as men don't man up to our responsibilities.
Amen.
Whether we're talking about in the home or in worship, about what God has called us to do as the spiritual leaders. When mama has to take that role, we have a problem. We have a problem in the home. When a woman has to take that role in the church, we have a problem in the church. If we go to Aunt Susie's house and Aunt Susie has to lead the prayer, we got a problem in that family. Because that is, you know, Joshua said, as for me and my family, that's a decision he made. We as men need to man up to our responsibilities that God has given us and the role of leaders.
Well, go ahead and preach, Terry.
Sorry about that.
No, that's a amen to that, friends. We have, and I guess we might even call it, since we've gone down this road, let's pick on men for a while. Men, you, as Terry said, you need to stand up and be a man. And women, you need to insist that your husband be the spiritual leader that God wants him to be.
Exactly right.
So now, listen to what he says in verse 9, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided or braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now, friends, listen beginning in verse 11. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 11. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Paul says, I suffer or I do not allow a woman to teach nor to have authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now, Terry, listen to verse 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. He goes back to the creation.
Exactly.
Now, there are some, and I even had a gentleman tell me he was in a congregation out in Abilene, Texas. And this verse of Scripture was read, and a woman said, this was in a Bible class, a woman said, I don't care what that short, fat, bald-headed, woman-hating Jew had to say about anything.
Whoa.
Now, I would have been, if I'd been sitting within 10 pews of her, I'd run.
I'd have passed out right there. Wait for the thunder to strike or the lightning to strike.
See, what that is, Terry, is a thought, and you know this. These words, well, that's just Paul, right? It's not, friend. Well, God inspired him.
And you know, in order for us to rationalize some of this stuff, what do we want to say, Kerry? Well, that's a matter of culture.
Yeah.
That's not our culture. Paul wasn't addressing our culture. Of course, this lady was, well, I won't.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? This is part of that. The liberation movement, if you ask
woman's
me.
Fib.
Woman's fib.
I mean lib.
Yeah, woman's fib movement. And the result that it's had on ladies. Ladies, I want to tell you, God has got such an impressive and an awesome role that he has put you in. There's not a man on earth that would trade places with you, but it is not in the leadership of worship. And you have a place as important as man. And when it comes to your spiritual life, God loved you as much as a man, and God wants you as much as any man. But we still have to honor, and like Kerry said, you go back to the very beginning, God first formed Adam. That predates any law.
That's right.
The very beginning.
And it breaks down any culture barrier.
Any culture, exactly.
Or argument that might be set forth, because he goes back to the very creative work.
Exactly right.
And says, now watch this, Terry, our lesson is on orderliness.
There you go.
God said, hey, by the way, I created man first for a reason.
That's
God,
right.
God said, I had order in mind when I did that. Now, verse 14, he says, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. That means if she remains in her proper role that God gave her. If they continue in faith, charity, and holiness with sobriety. But then listen to this, Terry. You go to chapter 3 and verse 1. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. And then he goes on to explain, a bishop must be blameless. Watch this. The husband of one wife, vigilant, sober. And then he goes down to verse number 8. Likewise must the deacons be grave. Now, friends, Terry talked about it a moment ago. There is, in God's organization of the church, specific roles that he's ordained. Christ is the head of the church, and in all things he gets the preeminence. Then God has established that there are to be local congregations. Acts 14 and verse 23, Paul established churches in every city. And so, or put elders in every city, every congregation of God's people. There are to be a group of men referred to as elders, bishops, presbyters, overseers. All of those words are used. And by the way, Terry, pastors.
That's right.
Terry is not a pastor.
Nope.
Carrie, right here, is not a pastor. We are preachers. That refers to elders. And the Bible says that if you are going to be in the office of an elder, you've got to meet certain requirements, one of which is if a man, you've got to be a male. If you're going to be a deacon in the official sense of the word. Now, as Terry pointed out, the Bible describes this word diakonos, a general term of a servant. Everyone who's a Christian is a servant. But then God ordained there is a special office of men referred to as deacons, and these deacons need to meet certain qualifications. Now, friends, here's the question, and the number to call is 254-445-2473. If there is an office, an official sense of a deaconess in the Bible, where are her qualifications found? We find about the elders, we find about the deacons, and they've got to be men of character. What about these women who are supposedly deaconesses? Terry, where would that be?
I haven't found it yet.
It ain't in there.
I'm looking, but I can't find it.
So, friends, this idea that because there was a deaconess in the statement that Paul made, that's not an official use of the word. Now, Terry, it also talked about another word. The question that the email that we received talked about someone that is called a prophetess. A prophetess. Well, what is a prophet? Well, Terry, a prophet simply means a spokesman, right?
Yes, right. Could be a teacher.
Could be a teacher. So this idea, a prophetess then, is a teacher, someone who speaks. But, Terry, we've already established from 1 Timothy chapter 2 that if a woman is a spokesman, she must do it, according to Titus chapter 2, to other women.
Exactly.
Titus 2 says the older women are to teach the younger women. So the role of these prophetesses in the Bible cannot contradict any other statement of the Bible. And so these are simply women, like Moses had a sister named Miriam who was referred to as a prophetess. There are prophetesses scattered throughout the Word of God. There's one in Luke chapter 2, a lady by the name of Anna, and there are others in the Bible.
The daughters of Philip.
The daughters of Philip. But now, friends, what's the point? They simply were spokesmen that taught other women. They didn't stand before a congregation of God's people and preach a sermon. Well, I hope that answered that question that we received. And, Terry, you're not going to believe this. We've got about 1 minute left on our radio program. Is there anything you'd like to sum up, and then I'll close it out?
Well, I'm just thankful to be here, and I appreciate the invitation. But the thing that I want to just conclude with as far as what we've talked about tonight is how important that orderliness is in every aspect of our life, including our behavior, but also in our worship. But just think about it, how we should appreciate the fact that God has created an orderly universe.
Well, friends, again, my name is Kerry Clark, and I want to say how much I appreciate you tuning in. As we said, David is over at Bangs. You've still got about a minute if you want to run over there to Bangs and hear Brother David Harris as he preaches in that gospel meeting at Bangs. By the way, I'm going to be traveling out of town Going to be heading up to Rock Falls, Illinois, leaving on Wednesday morning for a gospel meeting up there, and I'll be back next Monday. But may God bless you as you continue to study His divine word.